And so I just want to kind of give a little recap before we get into the message, and just want to say, you know, that I've really enjoyed it. I mean, I can't believe it's 4 weeks already, but, you know, 4 weeks already into this journey that we've been having with Joshua and the people of Israel. I mean, this is sermon number 4, and you know, I can't believe how fast it's going. And I was sharing with a couple of people that I've put off doing this sermon series for a long time. I always like to go week to week, you know. I like to see what God is going to say this week, and I'm always hesitant, you know, to do long sermon series. And we have 9 of them. And man, it's like, it's, even though this week I get them out and I begin to go over it and I finish them up, I mean, I'm refreshed. And it's like I'm living through these, you know, just now. You know, it's not like they've been prepared for a while, you know, but it's like I'm living it. And I hope you're feeling the same way, that as we go through this, that God is speaking something fresh to us each and every week. And so I've really been excited. I mean, I'm really getting excited about what God is doing in my life. And I hope He is in yours as well. And so, you know, here we are, week number 4, and, you know, Israel is there on the threshold of coming into the promised land, you know. And the thing is that always strikes me is that they've been there before, and we've talked about it, but for whatever reason, you know, fear or whatever, they just failed to enter the promised land. And consequently, you know, because of their fear or disobedience or whatever it is that they were going through, they had to spend 40 additional years wandering around in the desert. And that's not lost on me, because I'm telling you, I spent 35 years or so on that wilderness journey. I know what it was like to be in the wilderness journey. And you know, there was a day where God said, you know what, I'm going to do something new in your life. And finally, after all those years, I allowed Him to do that, you know, that something new that He had for my life. And these people, the same way, they're wandering around for 40 years, but God then says, you know, after all this time, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm right here in the middle of you guys, and I'm going to do a new thing. And so he gave them a new leader. Remember, we talked about a couple weeks ago that great confession that God made to Joshua when He said, Moses is dead, right? And we kind of, Joshua probably thought, well, yeah, that's pretty obvious, you know. But I don't know if Joshua knew it or not, but he was saying, okay, Moses is dead, but now you are the new leader. And after he got over that one, and he began to communicate to the nation of Israel that the old is gone and a new is coming, they began to get a new kind of determination about their future, about where they're going. They began to really kind of like dig in, and they're going to say, okay, it's new, you're the new guy, but we're going to see what you have for us, what God is going to do through you. So the time had finally come then, new determination, new purpose, new excitement in their midst. After all of these years to break camp and cross over and enter into the land that God had promised them all those years ago. Last week I communicated to you, or we heard together, this just amazing story about how God gave them evidence of His power and of His presence, you know, by stopping up the Jordan River all the way back to this place called Adam that some think could have been. And Gary and I talked about that this week, as far as maybe 13 miles. Imagine that. Backing up water of a river 13 miles so that God's power and God's presence could be on display, and the people, for the second time in their history, crossed over on dry land. I don't know, I think about that in my mind's eye, and I think, what a sight that must have been. Right? Water backed up 13 miles. What could that have looked like, do you think? And they crossed over onto dry land. What a sign, I think, of God's power and God's providence. What a reminder that He cares for you and for me and for the nation of Israel. I don't know about you, but I can just imagine that once they got over on the other side, there must have been this great spirit, right, of celebration, this great wonderment present, this awesome awness going through the people as they crossed that dry riverbed. Now, during the past few weeks of reflecting on the book of Joshua, we've been taking their story as a metaphor for our own spiritual journey. I hope that hasn't been lost on you. But their story is a metaphor for our story. Because you see, God calls each one of us, everybody who's sitting in this place today, to enter a new land of spiritual freedom. And it's a wonderful land, and it's a joyful land. And you know what? In spiritual freedom, it is a peaceful land. But yet, with sadness, I realize that many of us are unable, or many of us just refuse to enter this new promised land that God has called us to. And I don't know why, other than I guess I can just think about it, that maybe some of us are just simply too disobedient and we won't move away from the comfort of what we've always known, of what was and what is, into the challenge of what could be in our lives. I don't know. Maybe others are just paralyzed by fear of the unknown. I don't know. Or maybe some of us are terrorized by the barriers that seem to lie between them and real spiritual health. See. Still others are immobilized by their past. Somehow or other, we get bound up in this tragedy of allowing our future to be defined by the failures of our past. Man, I'll tell you what, if I was to do that and I look behind and think about all my failures of the past, I couldn't get out of bed in the morning. If I allowed that, I mean, Cindy's been married to me for 31, 32 years, right? And she's seen my failures and she knows firsthand that there have been many. But I can't let those things define who I am today. Or everything that God has in store for me, everything that God has in store for you, if we allow the failures of our past to define our future, then you know what? We don't have really a healthy future. We really don't have a future. So we got to try to figure out a way, you know, to cross over into the promise that God has for us. Because we hear today, if we would just listen, we hear God's call in our hearts and in our minds to, you know what, cross over. God is calling each one of us to cross over. We've heard His call to get up and dust ourselves off and to move forward. We've heard God's call to keep our eyes focused on what God can do in our lives instead of what we cannot do. But before these people left the riverbed and moved on into the land, God required another thing of obedience for them. And this is what we're going to talk about today. I'd like for us to really follow along. I'm just going to ask you to stay engaged with this one, because their story can really become our story. As the whole nation of Israel was getting ready to cross over the Jordan, God instructed Joshua to have one representative from each of the 12 tribes of Israel to pick up a stone out of that dry riverbed on their way across. And see, Joshua had been in training for years, and you know, he began to understand where God was going with this. He understood the purpose of the stones, because he'd kind of seen things like this happen before, you know. And they picked up these stones, and I could just imagine the people thinking, well, it's just a pile of stones. There's nothing really special about this. But in God's providence and in God's ordination, they would become a sign to the people of God, become a sign to the people of what God would have in store for them. So it was not only to help them remember, see, but the marker would become a catalyst for telling the story of God's faithfulness and deliverance from the desert to land flowing with milk and honey. So this morning, what we're going to do? We're going to build an altar right here in this place. We're going to build an altar. And what we're going to do is we're going to build an altar of remembrance for what God has done and God's power and God's presence in our life, but we're going to build an altar as a catalyst to move us into the fantastic future that God has called the NAS to be part of. And I hope that, you know, we can all go on this journey together. But we got to ask a question first. What are the signs and what are the markers of God's power and God's presence in our life together? That's something that we need to begin to think about. What are the signs? You see, so as we build this this tower of 12 stones, man, ask the question, what do these stones mean? I mean, what do these stones really mean? So the first stone that we're going to set this morning is a marker of God's healing power. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. I want you to stop and think for a moment. See, we've seen God do some amazing, wondrous signs of powerful healing and deliverance. See, we have seen God move His mighty hand of healing through those in our congregation. I want you to stop and think about it for a moment, but we've witnessed together true miracles of God's healing grace in the lives of the people right here. Now, one of the questions that always come to mind, you know, because, you know, we see, you know, like, you know, some one person will be healed and, you know, maybe we look at it that one person here won't. And you know, I got to say, I don't know why God does it. I don't know why God doesn't every time heal from the physical illness or whatever, financial illness or relational illness that we suffer from. But I do know this is that when we reach the kingdom of heaven, all of those things that afflict us will be healed, and so God does continue to heal us spiritually and physically and emotionally and financially. God is always on the move. And because of that, man, we dare not be shy to praise Him for the miracles of healing, especially physically, that do come in our midst. And we can't hold those praises back. But there's also been healing of other kinds, and I want you to listen to me. You know what? The broken family relationships have been restored and are being restored and will be restored. Shattered self-images have been lovingly put back together by the Creator of the universe. Let us remember today that we serve a God whose business it is to bring new life where only death would otherwise be present. Second stone that we're going to set this morning is the marker of stewardship. Vicky always keeps them straight. It's a partnership. The second stone is the marker of stewardship. God continues to provide through faith and the giving of others. I think God has literally transformed this congregation in its stewardship. We have seen God provide for others as well as provide for the ministry of this church. You know, some of the things that have happened is we put food on the table of hungry people. We provided fuel for warmth for families who've struggled through economic hardship. You know, we live in a, I don't know if you know this, but we live in a harsh North Country environment. We do. It gets cold out there. But God has helped us provide. You know, we've helped others who've been touched by disaster, but through trust and the faithfulness of God's believers, you know what? Bills are paid, man, and we're still able to continue to minister to others inside this place and outside and around. But I want us to understand that it's larger today than just finances, okay? Stewardship is a lot more than just finances. I mean, you know, God calls us sure to give of all of our resources, but he also calls us to give of our talents. God also calls us to give of our time. God also calls us to go the extra mile in prayer or care for others, see? And as the time that I've been here, I've seen you given finances, but time, talent, things, care for others. Stewardship is more, loved ones, than just finances. You know, some people, I prayed with people who have lost their jobs. They've experienced misfortune of all of a sudden just losing what was once a really secure job, but through prayer discover the truth of God's promise to meet all of their needs. All of their needs. Many in this congregation are responding to God's call to simplify their lives so they'll have more to invest in others. To me, that's incredible. To simplify their lives, not because they think their life is just all crazy too busy, but they care about others. That's incredible for me to witness. That was the second stone. The third stone is the marker of missions. The global mission enterprise of the Church of Jesus Christ is coming to the forefront of our thinking as a congregation. That's powerful. We're developing much more of a global mindset. We're taking seriously the responsibility we have to our brothers and sisters in other lands by helping to fund the mission. Do you know that every time you put a dollar in the offering plate, a total of 17% goes to fund the mission throughout the world. So 17 cents goes. And then 5.5%, so a nickel and a half, goes, right, simply to provide whatever it is, building materials or Bibles or educational materials or just preaching points somewhere throughout the world, you know, Africa or South America or you know, in the Macedonia area of Europe and China. 170 world areas are touched by that nickel and a half without anything taken off. No bureaucracy. It goes directly into the lives of those people. And this year, I'm going to tell you something. We've already been able to, through your investment, is that all of our responsibilities are paid. You have a global footprint. When you put a dollar in that offering plate, you leave your mark around the world. And you know what? By God's power and by God's love and God's grace, we've sent missionaries and we are sending missionaries out into the world. Mission. That's what Jesus Christ came for. His mission, God's mission to reach the world so that the world may know. And you're part of that. That's cool, man. I think that's fantastic. The fourth stone is the marker of new life and growth. You, Gary, you're next. Sorry. New life and growth. Thank you, guys. Awesome. You know, as I was thinking about this, what does that mean, new life and growth? How do we celebrate that? And I was thinking about it, well, some of our new life has literally been physical. And what I mean by physical is, you know, that in recent months, you know, we've witnessed the birth of babies, right? Born into the families within our church. And, you know, more on the way. I'm just thinking about the Bono family and, you know, Porter, right? Kugler, he was just born, right? What, 3 months ago? 4 months ago? 4 months. This guy's 4 months. And he's a biggin', right? He's like the top 100% for his size and everything. And I think he's going to play hockey for Clarkson. I'm pretty sure of that. But I also heard that Eric and Charlene are expecting here real soon another baby that'll make, what, 3 grandchildren. And I know there's many more that are touched, you know, by children and expecting, and marriages are beginning to happen and take place. So, you know, we really experience that real life growth of new life within the congregation of our church. But listen to this, through foster care and the love of Jesus, older babies are being folded into the life of the NAS. Remember I talked about a few moments ago about reaching out. We're doing ministry that reaches out beyond here. And we're touching lives from out there. Well, foster care program is folding new Christians into the life of the church in the Nazarene, because there's families out there that care beyond their nuclear family, beyond their home. It's great. And also, man, we've experienced, you know, growth numerically. We're steadily taking, people are coming to visit us. We're taking in new members. And each week, the Lord blesses us with someone new to our church. And I'm just going to say it like this. I mean, I listen and I get out into the public. You know what? The word is out. God is doing something at the Church of the Nazarene in Potsdam. You know what? You should say amen about that one. I mean, God is doing something in the Potsdam Church of the Nazarene. But I want to talk about growth and new life that's even more important. And it's the new life and the growth that I'm witnessing every single day by lives who have been transformed by the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, people have and are and will continue to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior through a ministry of the NAS. Here's another thing. Many within this congregation have gone to a new level of spiritual life through the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. These altars have been regularly visited by people who are praying for others. And they're giving control of their lives over to God. And I say today, thanks be to God for that. Fifth marker is the marker of prayer. You know, we continually talk about and practice the discipline, the spiritual discipline of prayer. But yet it seems like God is still, though, calling us deeper and calling us to a new place of prayer. And, you know, as we progress forward, you know, as a congregation and as individuals, through the power of prayer, man, we must be consecrated, and we must be renewed through the moving power of the Holy Spirit, you see. You see, we have to pray, and then we have to give ourselves over to God. And then, you know what we need to do is we need to allow God then to set us apart. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that Isaiah is set apart by God, so he moves over to this side of the sanctuary. But what that means is he's set apart to do the will of God in his life, and he can only do that by the transforming grace of God's Holy Spirit. And it only happens through prayer. And it only happens through a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Prayer. I want you to get this. It might be the sixth stone today, but it's first in all of our endeavors. The sixth stone is the marker of worship. By the way, aren't you thankful for these guys? Amen. I know I sure am. I want us to be careful here a little bit, because I don't ever want us to take for granted the way that God meets us here in this sanctuary. You know, week after week, I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful, utterly faithful, to speak to us and to show us his mercy and to show us his power. And I want you to continue to come here and you know what, when the music starts, I tell you what, it was such a holy noise I heard this morning when I closed my eyes, and I could hear it coming from up there, and then I heard it back there, and it was absolutely beautiful. Don't stop worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. The seventh stone is the marker of our teens. That's how your parents feel. Thanks, guys. It's good. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. We're blessed to have a terrific group of teenagers. And here's what the wonderful thing is that they're more to us than just a separate ministry of the church. They're not just out there by themselves. You know, these guys are here, and they're engaged, and they're connected to the live stream of our church. And many of those teens, do you realize, come to this place on Sunday morning and in Sunday evening without the parental support. You see, our kids, man, we drug them to church. You know, when they were teens, they came because I was the pastor and Cindy was the youth leader, and they were coming to church. But these guys are coming, standing out in the cold, waiting for the bus to come because they want to be part of what Jesus is moving. They're connected to our church. You know, many of them are asking important questions, and they're taking momentous, you know, steps in their discipleship. And you know, some of them are even exploring church membership. They want to become part of an official NY Nazarene Youth International group that not only works here, but works at a district level and an international level. They want to be part of what God is doing in the world. And I say amen to that. And some of them are preparing themselves for a life of service to Jesus Christ and his church. So the eighth stone is the marker of children. Man, we're blessed that our church is filled with active and joyful kids. Man, you know, Cindy and I each week is, you know, we get have this opportunity to sit with Jalen, you know. And man, he comes and he sits there. And you know, he tells us that he loves us. And man, those kids love you. And if you haven't had the opportunity to get to know some of the little ones, man, do it. Get to know them. They'll hug you and they'll tell you they love you. And man, it will just I can't hardly sit down when the kids greet me and you know, they give me things, you know, they give me little cards that they've drawn and they, I know they have for many of you out there, and it's genuine. And they love you, and they care for you. And I just want to say today, if you aren't sure about the blessing that these kids give us, try being part of a church that doesn't have the vitality of kids. Try being part of that group where there are no kids. And as a church, you see, because God's sending us these kids, we've made a significant investment into the ministry of children. See, I want you to understand something else. You and I, we're not the church of today. I hate to tell you this. But if you go out into that room out there and you look at those kids, they're the church of today. They aren't this far off thing that they'll be here someday, but they're the church of today. And our job is to prepare them to be ministers for today. Now, we need to realize, man, that the stakes are really high, you see, because we have an amazing task to provide for our children an authentic reflection of the kingdom of God as we live life in church together. And I praise God, you know, for helping us to rise to the task that He's given to us. The ninth stone is the marker of our adults. I kind of think I'll say it like this, is that only a short-sighted and foolish church or individual would ignore its history. Okay? And the history of our congregation and the history of our denomination is rich, and we better treasure it. You know, we have a tremendous responsibility to our adults, and this includes prime timers. This includes the bald guys like me, the old guys, you know, with sore backs and things. We need to seek their guidance and we need to seek their input, as well as look after them with reverence and respect. They got a lot to offer us. The tenth stone is the marker of lay ministry. One of the most exciting things to me is when people take the initiative and develop their gifts for ministry and just put them into service. It's been exciting for me, and I hope it is for you as well, to discover the many ways that you are providing ministry to one another. See, you guys are providing wonderful pastoral ministry. Man, you guys counsel each other. You guys care for each other. And you guys pray for each other. That is like really cool. See, I believe something here. I believe that God is teaching us deeper lessons of what it means to be, well, priesthood of believers or priest for one another. See, And God is teaching us those things. We're learning the work of ministry doesn't just reside with the clergy, right? But it is given to the whole community of faith. I know a lot of people say this, pastors preach on this, but you know what? I believe something here, that we are a priesthood of believers. If we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're plugged in to the local congregation, then God calls you to a ministry. It's not the ministry of Eeyore, but it's the ministry of Jesus Christ, filled with joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The 11th stone is a marker of vision. Thank you. Our purpose here is to be an authentic reflection of the kingdom of God. And we're to reflect that in the way that we live and the way that we work together as a community of faith. I call this discipleship. You see, in the General Church of the Nazarene, the mission statement, if you will, is that we exist, you know, as the Church of the Nazarene throughout the world to make Christ-like disciples. The way they actually say it is to make Christ-like disciples in the nation. We're part of that family. We're bonded together with that family. And because we are Nazarenes, then it is our mission here. Don't ever mistake this, to simply make Christ-like disciples here and in the world around us. Discipleship means something that we should increasingly be people whose lives together is characterized by the great commandment. And it's in Matthew chapter 22, and it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbors yourself. This is the first and the greatest commandment. See, here's the deal. Jesus Christ calls us to lay down our lives for one another. And I'm telling you something, that is a radical departure from the message we hear every day in our world that tells us that we just need to care for ourselves. See, I come from the generation known as the me generation, that everything was all about me. 70s, late 60s, 70s, into the 80s. But our generation was wrong. It's about God, and it's about others. I think we're learning deeper lessons of kingdom life. Now, the 12th and final stone is the stone marker of hope. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ryan. You know, I asked Ryan, and for a very important reason, to put the marker of hope. And maybe, if I don't make it clear why, maybe, you know what, ask him. You know. But one of the things about the marker of hope is that this marker of hope is still for those who are on the far side of the river, right? This stone is a stone of hope for those who haven't yet crossed over, right? See, this is for the ones whose answer to prayer is still on the way. You see, this stone is for the generations to come who will carry on through the ministry of the church what we have carried on from those who passed it down to us. See? You see, this is the marker of what the prophet Jeremiah was talking about when he said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. See, we all aren't crossing over at the same time. But God is calling us all to make the journey. See? So as we look at this memorial, this is going to be here for the next year, right here in this place. You know what? Look at it and ponder and ask, what do these stones mean? I've kind of given you a start with it, but what do these stones really mean for us, you see? Man, we should remember as we look at this throughout the year that we are indeed a blessed people. We need to look at this and we need to remember all that God has done for us. We need to be excited about how He's moved among us with His mighty power and His provision. We need to look at this and be amazed at the fact that God is going before us, preparing the way to help us cross over into the new land that He has for us. But there's always a but, isn't there? It's not over yet. See, as Israel crossed the Jordan, they still had a lot of work to do to actually possess that land. You know what? We still have a lot of work to do. But I want to tell you something. I just want you to look around today and look at these faces and understand that our future is bright. You know what? Crossing over is just the beginning of what God has for us. Because once you cross over, you still have to possess the land. And so I'm going to tell you something. There's challenges ahead and there's conquests ahead. And here's the thing is it's going to take sacrifice. Maybe it's going to take great sacrifice for us. And I believe that this is a sacrifice that God is calling some of you, if not all of you, all of us, to make. If we'll just pray and listen and obey, God will do amazing things in our midst. So the question then, the final question, we're wrapping it up, friends, because I think the potluck is ready. But the question becomes, will we be faithful to follow the lead of Jesus into radical obedience, His call to lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel? See, these stones are to remind us that God is able. These stones are to remind us that God is faithful. And you see, these stones are to remind us that nothing much happens until we step out in faith and cross over into the new land to which God is calling us forward. So let's just commit together to cross over into the next era of our journey together as a congregation. God's not finished with us yet. So let's follow hard after Christ. Let's possess the land that He is giving to us this very day as our inheritance. I hope you'll join me in the journey today. Stand with me, please. Father God, I thank You for the privilege of standing before these beautiful people and preaching Your word.